Hi, I'm Andrew Middleton, and this is Podcasting for LTA from Sheffield Hallam University in the UK. Podcasting for LTA is a fortnightly programme that presents features, news and ideas in the domain of innovation and practice in learning, teaching and assessment in higher education in the UK. As the World Cup kicks off, a large part of this programme has an international and indeed German connection. This was entirely coincidental. The word Rooney is mostly absent. This week I'll be reflecting on a couple of the sessions that I attended at the ICED 2006 Educational Development Conference that took place here at Sheffield Hallam University. I'll be looking at two initiatives from Europe, one a role-play technique and the second a solution to delivering educational development materials. The main feature this week crosses several themes of interest to me: mobile learning technologies, gameplay for learning, and cultural exchange. I'll be talking with two postgraduate students from Germany about their innovative projects. They're here studying with UK students from the MSc in Games Software Development. The programme will conclude with the big idea as usual, though I'm looking for a better heading for that section, but it'll have to do for the moment. And also some calls for participation. And yes, I am looking for ideas and input from you. But first, let's hear from a couple of the sessions that I attended at the ICED 2006 conference. We've had the ICED 2006 conference, that's the International Consortium for Educational Development, at Sheffield Hallam University this week. Delegates from 32 countries have attended the three-day event. Its particular focus this year has been international perspectives in educational development. I wanted to briefly report back on a couple of the sessions that I attended. The first was the session that advocated the use of email mailouts by educational developers to all academic staff at two universities in Germany. Dietrin Lubeck and Professor Renata Salina from the Free University of Berlin presented a paper entitled "Enhancement of the Quality of Teaching, Especially Through Low-Threshold Academic Staff Development: The Learning How to Teach Emails." I was intrigued as I recognised that many academic staff that I work with like to take part in events with other academics here at Hallam, where they can develop ideas for teaching and learning. Culturally, I think the approach we tend to go for in the UK is mostly about networking and sharing practice. Educational developers, like myself, play more of a facilitation role, though obviously there is a robust knowledge base we bring, hopefully, to such activities too. The presentation I saw showed how each week a new teaching practice guideline was sent out, 15 in all over one semester. The project ran at two universities. At one university, all the staff received the mail out, and at the other, there was an opt-out facility. The mail outs took the form of a one-sided A4 PDF document attached to an email, and each one followed a similar structure: presentation of the fundamental question, hints, tips, tricks, solution ideas that could be used, and finally reflective questions that help the staff to tie the general ideas into their own practice. I understand that at the two universities the techniques have been generally well received and well used. My reaction, however, was we wouldn't do this in the UK. I can't imagine sending out one-way emails with PDF attachments to every member of staff at Sheffield Hallam University. I think there would be uproar, outrage. Firstly, we recognise that many of the personalities and many subjects will demand and find their own ways of developing their practice in the UK. At SHU, we offer the PG Cert in Higher Education, often called the New Staff Course. We have the Integrating E-Learning Course, and the LTI run workshops and similar events, and also work on a one-to-one basis with people across the university. Then there are other opportunities from LITS for more hands-on technical development and support. But, of course, a lot of staff, possibly most staff development, happens in the faculties at various levels and in various ways, often informally. As it happened, I spoke to another German delegate later in the conference about this approach. And this person, who worked for a regional government organisation, similar, I suppose, to our own Higher Education Academy, well, her response was that the academics she worked with would complain about adding to the email burden. She also pointed out that for her, you know, it was attending the workshops, it was networking, and it was that two-way discussion, the dialogue, that were probably more valuable than the hard information that was sent out. However, coming back to you know, the main reason for taking this approach, it was stated that this was a low threshold technique to supporting staff development, where staff quite obviously were never going to be able to make workshops even when they wanted to. So the session left me wondering whether there was any role at SHU for such an approach. And, you know, I'm not sure, really. I don't think this would be a general solution, but I thought it would be interesting to ask you. So I'd like to hear your opinions about what I've described. So please email me back at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk with any thoughts about that particular project. Now, the other session that I wanted to note was entitled Interactive Teaching Methods, Drama for Non-Actors. Now, you might not know me that well, but really I've got quite a shy side to me, so I was slightly nervous as I walked into this particular lion's den. I've taken, though, to attending events on roleplay recently, only because I'm really loyal to my job and it relates to the work I'm doing with Games for Learning and challenge-type events. And so, I mean, I recognise that such things allow us to suspend reality, and that's an interesting learning space to use if you can get agreement from all the participants in a role play. Briefly, what was so great about the approach presented by Katrina Winker and Tomas Grisel from Umeå University in Sweden was how they managed to involve everyone. And not just that, but everyone was involved usefully. So I'm briefly going to describe how the role-play session ran. There was a bit more to it than this, but for me the important thing was how everyone was involved usefully. So the scenario we worked with required four participants. A scenario was laid out on paper for each of the four groups, each with a particular spin according to one of the four roles. The groups then had to discuss a strategy that their role should take in the meeting that was to be played out. After 5 minutes, each group sent one representative forward to take part in the meeting. Other group members sat close behind their representative, and the meeting began, and the various stakeholder representatives began to play their parts. Other group members were not allowed to interfere. However, they could call time out to guide their representative through the negotiation that was being unravelled. And in the session we had that lasted about 45 minutes, no, probably less, I think the role play lasted about 30 minutes, we had time out called twice by team members. The tutors could also call a pause to the proceedings and suggest teams review progress and that sort of thing. And at such points, teams could nominate a new member to go forward and take that role forward in the discussion. As with all good role play, the real world was suspended and all participants were highly focused inside that play. And I do mean all. I mean the people sitting around the table, the four of them, and each of their group members sitting closely behind them. In the scenario we explored, we all agreed that we felt actively involved in the decision-making and negotiating, even if we weren't the team member sat at the table playing our role. There was a bit more to the methodology, and the methodology itself was based upon an idea by Bowl and available in a book entitled Games for Actors and Non-Actors, published in 1992 by Routledge. And I'll put this reference in the show notes for this podcast. But that session was quite remarkable for me in terms of how much I learnt about the particular scenario that we were involved with. And I was not one of the people sitting at the table. So, a few reflections there from the ICED conference 2006, which took place in Sheffield this week. Through some work I'm doing in using games to support learning, I happened to meet Janina Barth and Michael Bierkant, two postgraduate students from Germany who are here at Hallam for a semester developing a framework for location-based mobile applications. What this means in reality is they are looking at how devices like PlayStation portable gaming devices and PDAs or personal digital assistants, fairly commonplace mobile technologies, they're looking at how these can be used to develop learning experience that exploits particular locations. And they'll talk more about this in the conversation that follows. So the three of us were joined by Richard Mather from Academic Innovation here in the LTI, who is also exploring mobile technologies and games and their application to learning. So just here's a recording from that conversation, which covered a fair amount of territory and I thought was fascinating. Welcome to the Learning and Teaching Institute, Janina and Michael. Would you just like to explain what you're doing in Sheffield? Because you're from Germany originally, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Well, basically, we spend our last semester here in Sheffield and take the opportunity to attend to some modules we can't get at our own university in Reutlingen. So that's why we're here, and to see England as well.
Yeah. And what is the course that you're enrolled on here?
Actually, we are intended in two courses. It's the multimedia and internet and game design and development. I could not say the right name of it. But
one topical area is games design, and the other is more about multimedia and internet. Mm-hmm. So we take in modules from each of these courses. And as she says, sometimes we run into trouble because obviously, the timelines are always planned for only one course.
Why did you come to Sheffield? Was there something particular about these courses, or were you just looking for a bit of a change in your studies?
It was, I think, two reasons. Because we want to go abroad, we think that would be good for us in the last semester. And then we talked to our lecturer in Germany, and she was here for a few years, and he thought, why not go to Sheffield? And then we look at the course and we say, yeah, it would be great to attend these modules because we have done something similar in Germany, but to get another view of these things, it's always good. So we decided to go and take some modules that I have decided to make a module I have already done in Germany, but now I have brighter view of it because it's very different here. It's the same name, but it's very different what we learn, so it's always good.
Right, good. Janine, would you like to describe the project that you're working on, which is about using mobile devices, PDAs in particular, as a museum guide? What's the thinking behind the project you've been working on?
And the main thing was there was a museum and they go to our university in Germany and they want to have an audio guide for the museum. But we thought maybe it's better to have something visual together with the audio, because if you have only the audio thing, you don't know what the speaker is explaining you. So we decided to make it more visual. And then the most important thing for me was the user interface. So I have done a survey what the users want to have, what they can do with a PDA, and then I have to create a prototype for the user interface, and I have obviously tested at the end with my grandmother and so on to test if it's working for every people who go usually to a museum. And I think it works fine, but you have to to test it in the museum with all the framework in it. But I haven't done the framework, I have only done the prototype for the user interface.
So that seems like a great idea to take PDA technology, mobile technology, and develop that initial request for a museum guide. But obviously it introduces another layer of development work, the whole visual component and the design behind all of that. Now you've got as far as you have with this project, how realistic is it for museums and indeed educational institutions to look at developing visual mobile guides?
I think it's not more difficult than to make an audio guide or something, because you only have to, the most important thing is to think what you want to present, and if you know it, then you can find someone who can make it for you.